Ah, shit. Yeah, that recorded great. Okay, good. All right, we got that going. We got that going for us.
Yeah, which is nice. We got that going for us, which is nice.
And then there's the little record on this computer. We got two
recording in progress.
Yeah, we got them both going.
Got it.
Look at that.
All right.
And at exactly 7 o'clock, our bot will speak up.
Oh, that's pleasant. Hey. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Welcome to EnlightenRadio.org. This is the Sports and Comedy Attack. My name is Michael Cucarini, and I am here with my good friend and the original dusty-footed philosopher, Mr. John Case, who is flapping his wings free as a beagle. Free.
I just can't seem to get off the ground.
Baby. We're almost at another birthday for the United States, which is sometimes I think some folks thought we wouldn't get here, but we're going to get there, so...
as Texas,
I don't know if it's such a good thing. Reading the tea leaves on a lot of these strikes is probably it heartens me at the same time it scares the shit out of me because you got the service workers in California that just went on strike.
Yeah, right. And you got the writers.
You got the writers who are still on strike.
Right.
The actors are soon to go on strike.
Yeah.
That's going to strike. UPS and FedEx are going to strike.
Well, and the big three, auto, in September.
Everybody.
Yeah, so.
Yep, everybody. So.
But good news.
Joe.
Whoa.
Papa
good,
Joe.
Good news yesterday. Good news yesterday.
You can't turn around and blame him, though. That's the thing.
No. Good news yesterday. The UPS agreed to not everything. It's a step in the right direction. They agreed to abolish the two-tier wage system.
Nice.
Which is a great
That's
thing.
That's a big deal, man.
I tell you, the threat of a big strike is sometimes more powerful than the actual strike. You know what I mean?
You guys want to deliver these packages? I don't think so. What are you in your 70s? What are you in your 60s? Neither one of you have any teeth in your head.
Right.
You can barely walk down the steps or up the steps. Come on, fat boy. That's what you're saying. I mean, let's go on my
Well, that's a that's a really good sign. And I wouldn't be surprised if Joe is partly putting some pressure on the company, too, behind the scenes. You know, so he can't afford – he doesn't want a big strike, and he can't win without labor and African-American people. So, I mean, and he's made promises, and I think he's going to try to keep them. So,
I'm wondering who replaced Marty.
I don't know, but it's a good sign because it's two tier is also the biggest issue in the auto. It's killing the union, has been for 20 years. It's just, have two guys, same job, two different rates of pay for fucking reason other than the company wanted more money. I mean, stupid.
Well, this seems to be a modus operandi for, as we talk about some of the work that's being done out there in the United States in terms of careers and such, then you see a story about a lunch lady that retired after 55 years down in Southern Virginia. She cooked. She actually was a chef. She was a cook. She actually cooked stuff for this one school, and apparently people just love her food. This is not your grandmother's lunch lady. This lunch lady just busted her ass, but she loved it. She talked about she loved the kids. She loved seeing the kids. She loved talking to them. She said it gave her energy to keep doing her job. And I say congratulations for 55 years. God bless you, ma'am. Well done.
Right.
So I get a little off track here because we did want to talk. Coming up is the All-Star Game. Here for when Major League Baseball takes about a week off, and they come in. There's a slugging championship where they all get. There's different rules for the home run derby, but that's coming up. And then you got the actual All-Star Game, which is coming up. And I want to congratulate Josiah Gray from these Washington Nationals, for making the All-Star team. Way to go, young man.
Okay.
Way to go.
Okay, and his forte is what is
pitcher. He's a pitcher.
That's right. You said he was throwing 100 mile an hour sliders.
No. That was somebody else. He can, but he that's where he gets kind of patty wampus on the mound. If he throws too hard, you know, he's got to be careful because he's a young guy, and he just, they want to overuse that arm. They got to be careful with the elbow because, you know, as I said, Strasburg came in a long time ago, gave us a great look at what a powerful young pitcher can do. But he also, because he pitched the way he didn't pitch out of the stretch initially. And they say that that really hurt his arm. And his innards just kind of got all twisted up. So he's not. But Josiah's a little more compact, muscular wise, and doesn't throw with the same velocity. But I think he probably has more junk. He has a used to call it a curveball or a slider. Now they just call them both sweepers. They just call them sweepers. That's it. That's the category has now changed to sweeper.
What does that signify?
When the ball comes into the box and you think it's a trick of your mind, you think that ball, as a hitter, you're standing there looking at that ball is coming in that little box, like, you know, 92 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And sometimes it does that, and sometimes it does this, depending upon the fingers.
Yeah.
You know, it's four pitch or four seam fastball, two seam fastball. All those things are you want to set up a fastball so it looks like when you throw your changeup, you're throwing the exact same pitch. So you want to get that that hitter herky jerky kind of swinging at everything, going, "Oh shit, what's this guy going to do next?"
Right, right.
So hey, look, the Nationals lost the other night, 19-4, and it was literally an ass whipping. But they did win the series. They won the first game, lost the second, won the third game last night. Now they're here today. I believe they play. Let me check it. I think they play at 11:05.
Yeah.
I think it's an early game. They beat Philly 5-4. Now the Reds are in town. Cincinnati, good ball club. That's going to be a tough one, fellas.
Hey,
you got the Reds in for a 4-game series, and they are actually start today at 6:05. Tomorrow is 11:05.
Let me ask a question.
Yes, sir.
If you had a series of games, like three or four, would it ever make any sense to, you know, count the total number of runs over the series as the score rather than game per game?
No.
Because we would have lost the series had that happened.
Right. Well, you start all over again. That's the beauty of it. You get a chance to start all over again. No matter how many times you fall down, there's going to be equal opportunity for you to get back up. And that's one of the beautiful things about this game. That's why they call it the beautiful game.
Well, that's one of the reasons. I mean, it's also, I mean, it just looks pretty on the field.
And
the guys
actually,
out there, you know, they're not supposed to scratch their balls, okay? And they're not supposed to do that. Okay.
Well, the funny thing is these guys are now, I think, there's so much emphasis on speed and natural strength and flexibility. Flexibility is a big deal now, man. They're finding out that in your arms, your elbows, your shoulders, your ankles, your knees, all of that has to be worked out to get your blood flowing. Not only that, you build strength in those areas if you've already got the speed and the power.
Yeah.
You know, God, the coffee's coming back up on me. That's weird.
Well,
I had rice
now,
and chicken last night.
I can't. We won't be able to see it on the video because I'm only broadcasting the audio. But
right. No, my only point would be, I guess, with regards to the Nationals. Let's not. I'm concerned that they're gonna, after the All-Star break, the learners are gonna separate themselves from Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez, and I don't want that. I would like Davey to stay there as the manager, and I would like Rizzo to stay there as the GM. But we'll have to see. You know, it's a results-based business, man.
Yeah, you got to win. You know, if you don't win, you're probably going to lose your manager.
A long time ago, Jerry Glanville, of the fame of football, was the Atlanta Falcons coach for a while, but he did. I think Jimmy Johnson stole this from him, but in the NFL, you know why they call it the NFL? It means not for long. So
yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
You know, those guys are on a They are basically, everyone is watching everything you're doing physically in the NFL and in baseball. And they, a lot of managers can see things that we can't see.
Sure, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're watching for consistency. They've seen so many players. So they're looking at the talents of these players and thinking to themselves, which position has this player proven themselves to be good at on a consistent basis?
Yeah, right.
Well, so that's why you have guys going from college to the pros who were either a position player or a pitcher in college, and now they're an outfielder in the pros because of their unique physical gifts.
No, you know, I hear you. That makes sense. I mean, you know, you're, I guess if you're going to be more scientific about managing your baseball team, then you have to have all that data, you know, to,
Yeah.
You know, make
let's see. We started off with Frank Robinson as our skipper back in the RFK. I'm trying to think of all the skippers for the Nationals. It was Frank Robinson. It was Manny Atta. It was Riggleman as a temporary. It was Davey Johnson. After Davey, it was Matt Williams, who was awful. he lasted 2 years. They got rid of his ass. And then Dusty Baker came in, and then when Dusty left and went and took a year off and then went to Houston, he wanted a better deal from the ownership. They only were willing to give him a one-year contract. He wanted a two-year contract. So he left, and we've got Davey Martinez. Now, Davey is trying to keep his head. But when you display an obvious piece of paper call from an umpire, do you think the rest of the umpires in the league are going, who does he think he is?
Yeah, well.
So, you know, it just becomes – and it's frustrating to lose in that game. But I tell you, I'm really impressed with what I've seen the last week or two. It's been amazing.
Okay. Then maybe we're headed up, you know, but
– I don't know that you can expect the Nationals to be at the top of their league, but I can tell you from what I've seen, if you show up and you don't play really good baseball, they'll whoop your ass. That's all I'm saying. That's it. It's just, I don't know that it's not a playoff team, I don't think, right now. But I see Rizzo putting the same kind of pieces together that he did like 6 years ago. Yeah, so that's exciting. That's good news.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm hoping that I get to go to another game. I don't get to go as often as I used to. But
You know what? I talked to JB yesterday.
Yeah.
I meant to tell you, we talked on the phone.
Yeah.
He invited us to come out somewhere around here. Somebody was having a party, and my wife and I were like, "We'll call you back." Long about like 9:15, we both.
Yeah, he's desperate to find people to party with, you know.
Well, I guess.
Yeah, I'm kind of past the partying age. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't mind I think you're going to get an email from my wife soon about a party in November. So. Yeah. Hey, where'd you go? What happened?
Momentarily indisposed, you know. So.
I hope that was in a good way.
Yes.
Excellent. Yeah, I had an opportunity. You know, our man, once again, I can't talk about this enough. It's just, you know, the thoughts and prayers are horseshit at this point. You know, you had a mass shooting in Baltimore.
That's right.
At
a block party, right?
The Brooklyn area had a block party, which is, I don't know who the shooter was. They haven't said anything about it, or I haven't seen who the shooter was. At this point, it doesn't matter because there's too many people injured. People lost their lives. This is ridiculous. This is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, really.
Forgive me, but it is a joke that this small percentage of people have this stranglehold. You know,
yeah.
Christ, kids can't go to school. We can't go to the theater. You can't go to the mall. You can't go anywhere. There's always a chance, man. Somebody's going to come in that room with a fucking automatic weapon and start mowing people down.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just get really angry about this
shit. I know.
Shit.
It's hard to know what to do about it.
Your right to own a weapon does not diminish my right to exist.
Well, you know, I mean, I hear all kinds of... it's weird. You know, here we just got a report. I think we have the lowest unemployment in... I mean, we've got nearly full employment right now.
Oh, yeah.
Although many people are not happy with what's going on the frontline jobs, as you can tell from all the labor unrest. That's, you know,
sure.
Obviously, yeah. A lot of stress going on there. And it's hard. Why the insanity, even, you know, when everybody's at least got jobs to do? I don't.
It's just, you know,
it's troubling.
I don't like quoting her, but Liz Cheney in an interview said, "Well, what's going on?" She goes, "We have to stop electing idiots."
Yeah, she got me have a point there.
That was hilarious, dude. Yeah, and speaking of Baltimore, I had a chance to kind of have a back and forth with Mr. Meyer, and I don't think it looks like he's going to be available until after like 8:30 at night on Thursday.
Okay. Well,
we'll see specifically if we can just get him on. I told him it's not a long interview. It's just like maybe a half hour, maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd be looking forward to talking to him. He's just a fascinating guy, and he's very funny, and he's just an even better guy and an even better dad.
Well, if I can take my nap, I'll be able to do that. You just set
it up. Delay it to like 3. Take your nap at 3.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, but I'll be okay.
I'll be up and ready, man.
I'll be okay. I'll drink one of these 5-hour energy juices.
Oh, God, no. Oh, don't do that. The first time those things came out, I thought, oh, good, okay. Oh, I'll get pumped up for the show. And I had 2 of them.
Oh.
And I did 45 minutes of material in 7 minutes. Just. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah, right. A little bit of speed.
What's that?
Anyway,
I like
the old no dose tablets better. I don't know, but they're not on the shelves anymore.
And I have to cop to taking a few of those on the road myself just so I could get from point A to point B.
Right. No, I hear you. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that was.
Well, they were mild. I mean, but I remember someone gave me something. I was going to go all the way across the country. And someone gave me something called a Black Molly.
Oh, God.
Which was some amphetamine, unnamed,
oh, boy.
Whatever, you know.
Oh, boy.
An unnamed amphetamine, you know. And,
oh, my God.
And it worked. I mean, I drove about 25 hours straight.
Yeah, and, I did 22 and a half hours
but,
with 2 guys that were yelling at each other the whole time.
But it wrecks your immune system.
Two other comics just screaming at each other,
shut up,
I'm driving.
Yeah, right. But
we made it to the studio. We were scheduled to go do a radio interview for this radio show down there, and we made it right on time. I'm sure we didn't smell well. I'm sure it was just awful for them. But I told him it was going to be awful. Yeah. I told him we had driven straight through the night, so we're feeling that in a punchy.
I always felt that the amphetamine, though, that, my experience doing that turned me off of them for almost the rest of my life because, it wrecks your immune system, right, while you're going along. And at the end of course, I caught a cold or some flu.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was down for a week, and I blamed it all on that pill.
Yeah, because it influences you to do things your body wouldn't normally do, which you just can't keep doing.
So I was headed to the West Coast to have some fun with some friends of mine from Buffalo, and by the time I got there, I had to crash, you know. So,
So you're out cold for a week.
Well, most of it, you know, wasn't much of a vacation, so to speak. But.
Well, yeah, those always seem like good ideas until you actually have to do it, and then all of a sudden.
Well, there's always, you know, stuff to distract you in 1970 in San Francisco.
Oh, there you go. Well, I have driven cross country myself more than once, and it's just an absolutely breathtakingly beautiful country.
It yeah, really once is. You get west of, Terre Haute, man. Indiana, you're
right.
You know. Well, by the way, when I went through Terre Haute, the only reason I mentioned that is because when on that time I drove across, I went through Terre Haute, it was on fire. It looked that way. There was some either giant mill or, you know, one of those big tall grain towers, right? You know, that big had caught fire and it lit up the whole night sky right as you were driving through I-70. That was, and I said, oh my God, Terre Haute is gone.
Hey, can I be a bit self-serving here?
Yes, please.
Okay. My younger brother and his wife and children, two boys, are headed out of the country, and I say, man, dude, if you're watching, have a blast, enjoy yourself. You guys have earned this. Have a safe flight. Let's get some hopefully we'll see some of the pics that you guys take, and just keep them coming, man, and have a blast, Douglas and Henry. You guys have a good time. We love you. We're gonna miss you, but we'll see you soon.
They got to be able to get back in. Don't lose your passports.
They won't, that's not going to happen. They won't. He will not. No, it's too organized. That's not. This shit's not going to happen. No.
You know, they're probably going to be checking things. You know.
Yeah, and we have a coming up here. It always seems like these, like July and August, just kind of fly by a little bit every year. They're kind of those months where you get kind of occupied with all the things you're doing. And I had a request for you. What? I have a request.
Oh yeah, well, what's
the
that?
The request is, after this, after we say goodbye and you cut off the recorder, may we stay on for a few minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Something I'd like to talk to you about privately.
Oh no, that's okay. Yeah, I have to turn off.
And it was proposed to me by my beautiful partner, my wife, and it's one of the smartest things I've ever. I'm excited about it. Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right, man.
More than a little bit. I know. I realize I look like Greg Popovich at the, you know, when they announced that his team was getting Victor Wembanyama. He was, yeah, I'm really excited. Yeah, looking forward to working with him.
Is there anything in sports that could distract us from the coming presidential contest?
No.
I'm just worried about my mental
health. There's nothing.
Nothing is. It's going to consume us, right? The whole thing. Yeah.
Well, the problem I have is if you stopped, I wonder if all the media in whatever iteration, whether it's online or television or however it's generated, would just take a week off from covering Convict 45. You know what I mean, man?
Oh, it's just, man.
That's, you know, just see what happens. Don't even cover him. Don't even run. Just no headlines, no nothing. You can't do it.
There ought to be. What happens if some other, you know, some, like, for example, RFK Jr.
Jesus Christ, please.
Now, what happens if hold on a second. If RFK Jr. could develop a sense of humor, he might be really dangerous.
Oh, I know.
You know, like, Trump's got a sense of humor. I think he is twisted.
I got this voice from it's hereditary. Oh no, no! What happened was I had the bad vaccine. Shut up!
I had a bad vaccine.
Shut up! God damn it! Shut up!
Now we have a democracy. Come on, honey. You know.
Hold on. Really quickly, softly, quietly. Purposefully, I'd like to tell Mr. Kennedy to go fuck yourself. Thank you.
So another Biden supporter we have here.
I mean, is, hey, there,
is there any other alternative? I mean, really, when you looked around the whole screen, the only alternative is a man that's 81 and I'm sure would like to take a second nap, like me. Yeah. But, you know, the country
nobody
else can possibly do it. You know, so it's
there's nothing in the world wrong with taking two naps.
No.
My two-nap schedule, initially, when I first lost my weight, when I got up to almost, I ballooned up to almost 400 pounds. When I lost those initial 137 pounds, my whole thing was I got up at 5:15 every morning and hit the treadmill right away. I stretch, hit the treadmill. I then, in the afternoon, and I was drinking my, you know, drinking my lawn, as you
said. Yeah, that's right.
And then I would, and then I would go walk the neighborhood between noon and one, and I'm back on the treadmill at night every single day.
Yeah, no, I remember you were you on know? It for a long time.
And but then, I put a little bit of it back on, but I actually at the doctor's office, it was great because I was happy to step on the scale. I lost weight again.
Did Trump's election affect your health in that way or other ways? Or do you ever synchronize those years that whole thing?
I don't know that it was just him. And I do believe this. He is a larger symptom, of the entire problem.
No, I agree with that. It's not just personality.
I feel as if people don't recognize the fact that an international crime syndicate was running the United States for 4 years and we let it happen. So,
well,
you know,
I mean, it's...
I mean, I just talk to Sarah Kendzior. That's all you got to do. I mean, she smart lady. You know, the View from Flyover Country. It's a book of hers. I would, it's very interesting.
I think sometimes we tend to. I think it's a sort of human nature. I'm sure to overemphasize the subjective over the objective, meaning that people's attitudes. You know, just vary all the way across the spectrum, right? You know, the way they reflect things. But when, for example, the economy changes, you change.
Oh, God, yeah.
You have to, right? I mean, suppose your job, your company goes away for whatever reason, and maybe a whole trade starts to decline of a certain kind, right? Because of the tools or the market or something's changed. Nobody will. Something has superseded it, maybe. Who knows? So then you're forced, you're compelled to do something different than you would never have chosen to do. You would have chosen to have things that could go along and get a little bit better, maybe.
Well, you don't want to, you've got people who have engineer backgrounds that are working as baristas.
That's true. And I'm told that the use of... the chatbots is gonna increase that. Okay. I did it the other day. I set up the chatbot to write a program, and it did. You know.
Talk about technology falling into the wrong hands.
Yeah. Right. I mean. If I start to manufacture bots all over the place and send them, scouring through the internet universe to...
I have a question with regards to that.
Yeah.
What is the what is that called?
Chat GPT.
GPT. What does that mean?
I read it once. it's a new version of PT.
Okay.
And I don't. He asked me what Pete. It's something.
You mean it's a new version of physical therapy? What?
It's one of the terms they use for, it's an acronym of some kind related to the self-training kinds of algorithm as opposed to the supervised kinds of algorithms. There's a distinction. Like when a simple example is when you type on your phone and it guesses the next word. If you pick the word that it's guessing for you, then that's that's a self-training algorithm. That's you know,
you're actually training it. The next time you do something similar, it's going to give you the
same
word.
As long as you give it a yay or nay or something like that, then it learns as it goes on, and it'll get better and better approximating what your next word is. You know,
yes, Dr. Charles Biddy Dyson created cyber digestion.
Yeah, if you do that, yeah, right, exactly.
Then 3 years later, the machines have figured out they need to take over the world.
But with
come
the,
with me if you want to live.
The ChatGPT is a step above that simple guess the next word. It's gonna guess the answer to your question.
Hey, John, thank you for pointing that out to me. I appreciate that. Thank you. That makes a lot of sense. No, I mean, there's a lot of folks out there who have no idea what the hell that is.
Well, if you open up, you don't have to be a computer guy if you go to openai.org and get yourself an account, you can play with the prompts. It's called prompts, and they'll give you some examples of how to write a prompt and then how to refine it to make it get a little bit better answer. You know, I mean, the less information that you give the machine, the more random will be its response. Okay.
Yeah.
The more information you give, you know, it'll
get... And I want to thank the viewers and listeners for tuning in to Programming Tech Talk with John Case.
Yeah, right. Sorry about that. There's no jokes in there.
It's nice to take a little breather and talk about some things that actually affect our lives, man. I mean, that's...
whatever.
But yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, you're telling me about all this stuff and it's technical and this and that. I can't even get my goddamn camera to work.
Well, I got to come over and it's the device. It's not selecting your new device. It's selecting the old one. Yeah.
Right. So. And my friend, you are welcome over here anytime, as long as we're home.
All right. I've just got to, you know, manage to get past the, I feel like when I'm driving along, that road by the big NTCT.
Yeah. 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 That,
I feel like I'm being watched.
You probably are.
I feel like I'm possibly being, you know, there's, you know, drone biodes. You know what a biode is?
Yes.
It's a little two-celled organism that it's so small it acts like a bullet that you don't even know hit you.
What was that? Oh, shit. Man, I'm just walking here. What happened?
You know, the whole nature of sports, by the way, is in this virtual world is going to start changing. I mean, I think when the virtual reality, I read today that Apple has some unbelievable VR device.
Yeah, yeah, headset. Yeah, headset experience.
So you're going to start to see, you know, global virtual sports, you know, and I'll bet you're going to.
Yeah. Well, they also think, John, I watched this. I did catch this morning or last night. I can't remember which, that Apple has this scheduled to sell. They originally wanted to produce 1 million units. And they're $3,400 a piece. So
right.
I'm thinking to myself, now they've cut that number back. They said we're probably only going to produce 400,000 of them. Also, too, I think that this deserves to be said with regards to that. They stopped looking into the lesser version, a version that would cost like, you know, $980 rather than, you know, a car loan.
It's got to be able to do really cool stuff, you know.
It
has to look real, and closer to reality it looks, the more people will get engaged.
And I think you're right.
You know, for example, like in a sense, when you participate, you know, other people see you. They don't see, it might be a picture of you, but usually people use avatars, right? But, well, what's an avatar? Like a character or something, just some little cartoon like that. But you can make them more and more like from the movie, right? You know, you can make them more and more and more like you, or like a version of you, right?
Look what they did with De Niro's movie.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
They made him younger. You know, it's fascinating what they can do. They and Arnold, in one of the Terminator 1s became, he was himself, but he was also his old self three times as large.
Oh, when he was competing, you know.
When he was in the one Terminator that had him as a Terminator, that was, he was all growed up and old and beat to shit, but he was still very powerful. But they had him go against his old self, which was the original.
Oh, I see.
Terminator, the one with the sunglasses.
Yeah.
Right. And then the guy goes, you know, he in the first movie, Terminator, he's going down the street naked. And the guy looked at him and went, "Nice night for a walk, huh?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "Nice night for a walk. Your clothes, give them to me now. I'll take the plasma my rifle in the 30-watt range. Only what you see, pal. Only what you see."
You know, I was told by one of the leaders of the California Labor Federation that when Arnold was governor, and when he actually met him, he dropped the accent. Isn't that weird? I had a hard time believing it, because you hardly never see him without it, without the Austrian.
There have been occasions, right, where I've seen him interviewed where he kind of slips up. He's in the gym, you know, and working out. He's like energetic, and he's not thinking about his accent. He actually talks quite normally to people.
He doesn't do this
or emphasize that. This is what you say when you kill somebody. You get into the chopper. Run for the chopper. In these types of things.
Yeah, right. You got that down. You got him down.
Well, no, I got him down, but I actually hear myself, and I think it's okay, but one of the things I hadn't done in a while, and I was thinking about it the other night, my wife pointed it out, was, "Ooh, hey, I get no respect, I tell you. Hey, Rodney, here, let me tell you about my wife. She's my wife." You know, that kind of...
Yeah.
And I always struggled with the deeper voice, because Rodney had a really, really deep voice, and people don't realize that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't handle Rodney.
Oh, not a lot of people. You know, it's different taste, man. It's like my parents hated Don Rickles. He was just stupid.
Me too. I couldn't stand him.
But if you go and look at his endurance, his historical performances, some of the things I have to give him a little bit of credit for being kind of ballsy with Frank Sinatra. Did you hear what he did?
No.
When he first met Frank Sinatra?
No, what did he do?
Well, they brought him in, and Frank, and he got a pretty good reputation for being very funny very early on. Don Rickles did. Mm. And Don went up to, or not, was it, no, I'm sorry, Jesus Christ, I forget, am I saying the right name? Yeah, Don Rickles. He walked up to and introduced himself to Frank, and he asked Frank, he said, "Hey, Frank, can you come over and meet my mom? Because she's sitting at the table with us." He goes, "It would be a pleasure." So Frank walks over and introduces himself, and Don goes, "Not now, Frank, we're busy." Asshole. And of course, Sinatra is laughing so hard that he's almost crying.
Yeah.
So he gets Don out there to open for him on some of his traveling shows, to just do some stand-up, come up, get the crowd ready. And that really kind of started that friendship, you know, years and years ago.
I just didn't like the humor that was based on insulting people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, look, it's there. It's not, you know.
I mean,
You can give it a shot. If you're not really, really good at it, I would suggest you move on to just writing regular jokes.
That's true. Okay,
that is a difficult road to climb.
A hill that he called somebody in the front row an olive with its pimento hanging out.
I don't know why, but he was on Letterman. And he looked at Dave and he goes, "I would not give those problems to a monkey or a rock."
Right.
Dave's response. What does that mean? What the hell? Think about what you just said. So, and this was years ago. So Dave started doing it again. Dave just brought it back his last 2 years on the air. He was like, I would not. He just kept saying it, and people understood the callback, and they all laughed. So it was very funny.
I mean, going back all the way back to our friend there.
Oh, Letterman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like his. I
like his interviews. I like his interviews.
Did you get a chance to watch the YouTube with Letterman in Ireland?
No.
John, you owe it really to yourself. Good.
Okay.
As a creative guy who messes around with YouTube. The guitar and loves poetry, you have got to watch Letterman with YouTube, with Bono and with The Edge. Yeah. It's not the rest of the guys, because as Bono said, they're off making ridiculous movies and such. But Bono and The Edge changed some of their original songs, and they think they're better.
Did he come from a prominent family of some kind, Bono?
No. Wasn't that prominent. He was better off than a lot of folks.
He carries himself like a man of wealth.
Well, right now he is. It's like you're talking about one of the most lucrative tours in the history of rock and roll.
Yeah, right. But I mean, he has a style that's...
And it's funny because most things, as Bono said, most things that they write usually start with The Edge just creating a sound.
Yeah,
he just plays the guitar. Right. And then Bono kind of goes, I was thinking about this, I was thinking about that. And then they bounce all these ideas off each other. Pretty soon they got an album.
Well, I think a lot of these little teams have an interesting creative process. And they're probably different than every case.
Well,
you know, so.
If you watch the studio thing with the Beatles, I thought that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Right. You know, I mean,
they just grind and grind and grind and grind. They don't slow down.
Right.
You know, and life doesn't. I mean, that's how you have to produce number one songs.
Right. They got it.
Or now the bots do it.
They were very tight, you know, very tight.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell, a lot of bands, you know, just their ability to practice to perfection or near perfection is just, you can tell, you know. Right. The band called The Band, right? Robbie Robertson and those guys, you know, they were like that. You saw them in live. You know, they might have been drunk or they might have been high on something, but you couldn't tell because, man,
there's a lot of bands
unbelievably
like that out there,
tight band. And I heard that, I remember there was a interview with Springsteen. Oh, he was doing it with Howard Stern.
I saw that one. Yeah, that was brilliant. That
and
was
then
such
he,
a good
in the
interview.
End of it, he starts talking about, are you guys going to do another tour again, you know, with the E Street Band and stuff? And he says, you know, we've been playing so long together, something like this. So long together, and we're so tight, man. He says, you get to be the best band in the world, he says, you know, if you just keep at, you know, everybody still wants to play, he says. So
still excited about doing what they're doing. Yeah. And there's a lot more enthusiasm for not just that, but I've seen that kind of thing with Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
I've seen that kind of thing with probably Fleetwood Mac, not now, but back in the day. Uh-huh. You know, that kind of thing. And you see it because it's an element of both creativity and consistency.
Right. And somehow these bands manage to sort of plow through all the, you know, personality conflicts or relationships or whatever, you know,
Well, another iconic band that played together for years is probably Earth, Wind & Fire.
You know, I remember them from the 70s someplace, but
isn't that amazing?
I never really ended up listening to them after that. I did for a while, but I don't think I have a single cut on my immense database here. Not one.
Wow.
I don't have any Earth, Wind, and Fire.
It's like Alan Parsons Project, ELO. They were, I think Alan Parsons and Electric Light Orchestra were both a little bit ahead of their time in terms of performing.
Yeah, well, I saw the Electric Light Orchestra. They were at a festival in California, in Monterey. Yeah. They were at the Monterey Jazz Festival. Yeah, that's right, because I went there. chasing somebody.
It's very strange.
Whatever.
They came out of a spaceship when my brother went to see him. They did. They had like this fake. My brother could tell, you know, all the steam. Everybody got excited though because they shoot beams out onto the stage, and right. underneath the stage is that little platform where you go down into the guts of it, and then when you touch the button, the guy comes up, and there's the bass player, and there's the drummer, and there's this. You know, it's like all these guys are being shot out of this. Spaceship, and it's a great effect. It was my brother thought it was phenomenal. Of course, he started to go south because he was doing shrooms.
Right. A lot of the bands had a great show, like Alabama, you know, which they came live to Portland in the Coliseum, and I don't know, I can't even remember how I got tickets, but I wasn't sure we were going to like them. We didn't love it. They put on a great show. I mean, but they had a thing the big giant movie screen showed them landing at an airport, getting off, getting in their Lincolns, driving, getting out of their Lincolns at the theater, and walking into the thing, and then at that moment they actually come onto the stage. You know, they do their act so that they go seamless. Well-produced, you know, film thing, you know.
And they're not going to show you. They're not going to show you the grips and all the other people that drop shit. He dropped my guitar again, Lenny. What the fuck is wrong with you?
It looked good. It looked good. Anyway.
That's going to be cut out of there. That's not going to be.
Of course, I had to.
We're coming up on closing out, aren't we?
Yeah, we're at 7:35, and we've been on.
We are at the bottom of the 5 minutes past the bottom of the hour, everybody. I'm here with Jack Case.
We probably got another tape.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Thank you.
All right, take care of it. It's late. Very, very late.
Now you gotta stay on. Okay.
It's very late.
Cut the recording.
Yeah. Okay. So let me turn that recording off. Hold on 1 second, and then we go there.